Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. Today we have some great guests lined up for you. In the first half, we're going to talk to Nora Moore on aromatherapy and the power of essential oils. And in the second half, we'll be talking with Claire Nelson on inflammation. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
A European study found patients with mild cases of COVID-19 were much more likely to report losing their sense of smell than patients with moderate to critical cases. Almost all the patients got their sense of smell back within 6 months, the study said. Researchers questioned and observed 2,581 COVID-19 patients from 18 European hospitals from March to June about olfactory dysfunction or loss of smell. According to the study published in the Journal of Internal Medicine, olfactory dysfunction is one of the most common symptoms of the coronavirus. The study said patients reported a loss of smell in 85.9% of mild cases of COVID-19, 4.5% in moderate cases, and 6.9% in severe to critical cases. At least 44 emergency department staff members at the Kaiser Permanente San Jose Medical Center had tested positive for COVID-19 during the first week of the year. One employee who worked in the department on Christmas Day has died from complications of COVID-19. All 44 staff members worked in the emergency department on Christmas Day, according to a hospital statement. The hospital is investigating whether the virus spread when a staff member briefly wore an air-powered costume to celebrate the holidays. The fan in the costume may have dispersed infected air droplets. Irene Chavez, senior vice president and area manager of the hospital, told ABC News in a statement, "Any exposure, if it occurred, would have been completely innocent and quite accidental, as the individual had no COVID symptoms and only sought to lift the spirits of those around them during what is a very stressful time." Fatigue, post-exercise malaise, and cognitive dysfunction, or brain fog, are the most common symptoms reported by COVID long haulers 6 months after contracting the coronavirus, according to a new preprint study published on MedRxiv. Most people also experienced relapses, which were triggered by stress or exercise, and many were still unable to work at full capacity. Most COVID-19 patients recover within a few weeks, but an increasing number of people have reported month-long symptoms that affect a number of organs. The preprint study, which hasn't yet been peer-reviewed, is one of the largest studies so far that captures the range of issues affecting the long recovery from COVID-19. Healthcare providers should be ready to treat rare cases of allergic reactions after giving COVID-19 vaccines, American medical officials have said. The officials also stressed the importance of continuing to vaccinate patients despite reports of the rare side effect. Officials from the Centers for Disease Control told reporters last week there have been 29 cases of severe allergic reactions known as anaphylaxis following administration of a COVID-19 vaccine. The officials said the severe allergic reaction, which appears to be rare, can happen with either the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine or the rival Moderna product. Nancy Messonnier, director of the CDC's National Center for Immunization, said even with the cases seen to date, the COVID-19 vaccines remain a good value proposition.
We have Nora Moore with us today. She's an aromatherapist. Welcome, Nora. How powerful are essential oils?
Well, they're plant medicine, and they need to be respected as such. They are derived from flowers, fruits, bark, roots, leaves, and they're very, very concentrated and have a very unique molecular structure. And to a lot of people put it on their skin directly and try to blend things themselves, and there is quite a chemistry to it. So it's just going in and talking to people that have knowledge or doing the research on your own, but just definitely respecting the essential oils and trying to find a therapeutic grade essential oil. With marketing and things such as they are nowadays, you really have to do your homework there as well.
Can you tell us what a therapeutic grade of oil would look like, or what it would do for us if we found the therapeutic grade?
Well, there's a lot of different thought processes on that. Like, there's MLM companies that are suggesting that you can ingest them. But to find therapeutic grade, you have to really know your supplier, know that they're doing their homework. It's just like in the health industry, you have to read your labels, and you have to be a aware consumer and ask good questions. And anybody that has an aromatherapy company or is involved in the industry knows that there's different types of testing that you can get done, and they should be done on every batch. Sometimes a company will just do one sporadically, but they need to be done on every batch.
Nora, in your home, would you ingest any essential oils, or is that just kind of out of the question?
I have a lot of knowledge, so very minimally, yes. But very small dilution.
And dilute it first.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. What about having it in toothpastes and things that you use orally?
That's fine. You have to, like, obviously you would have to make sure you're using a natural product with the toothpaste as well. But definitely for oral care, like everyone knows, our skin's our biggest organ in our body. And everything we do each and every day, like you, if you think about, I've actually done this as a study myself, how many toxins we're exposed to just by using natural or just everyday body care. And, you know, if you think, break it down, you wake up, you brush your teeth, there's toxins in your toothpaste, you shampoo your hair, you know, you could just break it down. And we're exposed about 119 times a day just through what we put on our body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So anything that we put on our body, we are ingesting, we are eating.
Yes.
That's right. And there's so many different distillation is how you get essential oils, right? There's some are so concentrated, well, they're so expensive to do the distillation, and some are very inexpensive that you can use for house cleaning. Can you tell us some of the most expensive essential oils and why they are that way?
Well, jasmine, rose, neroli, there's just some beautiful, and it's the process that they have to do right from the farming process to the picking. Like jasmine needs, it's called Mistress of the Night, and it needs to be picked in the evening or early morning. Mm-hmm. And that's when the plant, the essential oil, the volatility, once the sun hits it and stuff, it shrinks back down. But it's, and then they have to do it through, the process that they do it is through enfleurage, and they put it on sheets of glass and have to, it can't be steam distilled.
No. Okay.
So the process to get it out is very, you could, but you would need, like, even with lavender, it takes, if you think of farming, it takes 27 feet of lavender blossom to make one 15-mil bottle of lavender.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if you're paying even $30, $40 for really good lavender, when you think of it as 27 feet of flowers to create it, that's not bad.
Yeah, and just like with rose and things like that, it's even more intense. I think it's 1,000 pounds to get a mill of oil. So, like, you think how light the little blossoms are. And then there's all the farming and the importing and the extracting.
Mm-hmm. And with the company that you're working with now, are you the one sourcing and finding the products to create the oils from?
Yes, and it's been so much fun because I didn't realize how much a farmer I am at heart. And dealing with the people that are doing this, and when they break it down to a farming mentality, how much it takes to extract these oils and the processes, and it's just so precious. It's so very precious.
And where are these travels taking you to?
I'm not personally physically traveling. I just, mm-hmm. with my past, I have a lot of connections with suppliers, so uh-huh. I've been working with them.
So some of these plants are coming from all over different places in the world, though.
Yeah, and too, though, a lot of people, because when you think how popular aromatherapy has become, like, there didn't used to be as many lavender farms as there are now. Mm-hmm. Because when you think back in the day, like, lavender was not well used, and now it's one of the most popular body care, everything there is for rest, relaxation, anything for your body, mind, and soul. So much is being grown now.
Mm-hmm. Because the whole world's wired and tired.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good adaptogen.
Yes.
We think about the fires in Australia, and with importing tea tree. So there's going to be some different pricing come in because this is plant matter. It is from a farm. And consistency doesn't happen with essential oils. It depends on the growing circumstances, the crop that year. It depends on the weather. It depends. So when you get something that you expect that every batch would smell the same, if it's from the same growing season, that's possible. But the only time they're the same is when they are adulterated. They can do things to make them seem consistent. But to get the pure oil, you're just absorbing organic.
Mm-hmm. So what would an adulterated product look like? It would always smell the same. The cost is probably less.
But yeah, the cost is less, and there's not some. They dilute it with linoleic acetate, and with citruses ones, they do it with limonene. There's tests you can do, but they're not 100% efficient, like doing the drop on a tissue. But if it is a certain type of essential oil, it'll leave a bit of resin, but it shouldn't leave an oily residue.
Oh, okay. So what we need to know is what companies are doing lab testing and that they are really pure rather than doing home testing?
Yeah, and good retailers are doing the work to make sure that happens. They're asking questions. And they are also offering options. Like, even if some are adultered, so to speak, like, I don't want to be fear-based in any manner.
Mm-hmm.
But I use, a little bit of a less expensive lemongrass to clean my house. I put it in my dishwater. I put it in my laundry. I love the smell. I don't use any Tides or Dawn. There's so many good websites, too, where you can look at replacing what you're doing in your everyday life with essential oils and with natural products. That's Skin Deep, EWG website. They have it for skincare. They have it for household cleaners. And when you start doing your homework, it's actually kind of traumatizing.
So, Nora, do you make most of your home remedies for cleaning your house as well as your body?
Yeah, I have forever.
Yeah.
And it's just, I did it before. It was cool, I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like the do-it-yourself aspect of it, too. You're putting on your biggest organ in your body. And you can go to your local health food store and just buy all the ingredients and make it yourself. And then for sure you know what you're getting.
Right.
Like you made it yourself. There's no, it's very... very important to do that.
Nora, can you share one of your favorite home remedies for cleaning something in the house that just is very simple?
Well, I think something very important right now is things to do with viruses and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's that time of year, and there's a bit going on with that. And I always love to do eucalyptus, tea tree, lavender, lemon, and pine. Mm-hmm. And it just... it builds your immune system. Like, I'm building my immune system while I'm doing dishes. It's just so cool. Like, just everything I do. I have a bath in the morning. I sprinkle it in my shower. I mist my sheets at night. I wear it as perfume. I use it in my skincare. It's my deodorant. My toothpaste. Literally everything.
Wow. We're going to have to go to a quick break, Nora. And when we come back, we're going to learn more about aromatherapy. Be right back.